close to has Portland and all that has rain all the time, because I love rain. Of course, I live out there a week. I may not like it anymore. That's how we humans are, right? Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 12. I made a mistake this week. It wasn't a sin, it was just a mistake. Well, if we define sin as missing the mark, I missed the mark. I sent Kim Hebrews 1, 1 through 3 and verse 6 when I left out a 1. It was supposed to be Hebrews 11, 1 through 3 and verse 6. But I will tell you, if any mistakes I have made, that one was not a bad one. Because that passage fits too to what we're talking about this morning. So we're going to go back and look at Hebrews 11 in a little bit. Thanks for reading that, Marcia, because it does. It does fit, and it is a good passage. Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 32. I'm going to go back up a couple verses. You can't imagine me ever doing that. In verse 28... basically, what's happening here is Jesus is talking about not being anxious. He's saying, you know, don't worry about things. The Lord's going to take care of you, all right? So, and so what we're going to read, you're going to think is very similar to Matthew chapter 6, particularly verse 33 and some of those passages there. So listen up, and we'll begin to talk about it this morning. Verse 28, Luke chapter 12, verse 28. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat or what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows what you need. Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Does that sound familiar? Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do not worry about tomorrow, because today has enough trouble of its own. That's Matthew 6, 33 and 34. And the reason I know those is I have to quote those to myself fairly regularly these days. So to remind myself, let's get into the passage. So fear not, little flock, verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure. I want you to really walk with me through this a little bit this morning, okay? For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So, sell your possessions, give to the needy, provide yourselves with money bags or purses that do not wear out or grow old. The kingdom has a treasure in heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moths destroy. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, we're gonna stick here a little bit and go down a little bit farther a little later. But I want to take just a minute to look at this passage, because when I was praying about it this week and reading this passage and kind of doing what I've kind of with you to do, to kind of let the passage speak to you over time and spend some time in prayer about it. And sometimes the Lord opens up kind of a meaning and a thought that you haven't seen before. And that happened to me this week. And I want to share that with you because I think it's really cool. All right? Let's look at that. Just those passages, verse 32 and through 34. It says, fear not, little frock. Okay, I've sinned twice. Little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure or goodwill to give you the kingdom. It's God's desire, it's God's pleasure to give us. Let me quote Peter, because he says it kind of a little differently, but he's saying the same thing. God gives you everything you need for life and godliness. Everything we need, he will give us within the understanding of the kingdom. He's just said, seek first the kingdom, and all this other stuff you worry about will be taken care of. So he's saying the Father's pleasure, it's the Father's goodwill. What does God want to do? He wants to give you the kingdom. He wants to give you all the resources you need for everything you ever walk through. Anything you need to help others walk through whatever they're walking through. It's God's will. It's God's pleasure. It's God's desire to give to us everything in the kingdom. Okay? Now, I want that to sink in a minute. So we're going to wait a minute. No, I'm just kidding. Let me go on and maybe that'll get you. Okay? When Jesus says it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, that's amazing news. Okay? And I hope that sometime this week that verse will come back and you'll go, what? Really? Wow! That's awesome! Okay? So if you have that reaction sometime this week, it's okay. All right? It's better than... See, I can say those things now. But here's the key. Here's the key. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide for yourselves. This is what I want you to see. Provide for yourselves money bags or purses. Now, by the way, guys, just because some of your versions say purses here, that does not mean this verse is not talking to you. Okay? Because everybody in Jesus' day had a purse. Money bag or whatever. They carried it around their shoulder, had all their stuff in it. Everybody had one. Men, women, kids, everybody. Okay? Man, it's a hard crowd this morning. And provide for yourselves purses or money bags that do not grow old or do not wear out, because that's how, if you can walk with me in this, that's how the Father is going to give you the kingdom. Now, we're not talking about financial wealth here. We're not talking about prosperity gospel here. What we are talking about is the things of the kingdom God wants to pour into this money bag, this purse, that does not wear out. Okay? Anybody want to know what this purse or money bag that does not wear out is? It's filled with treasures from heaven that does not fail. No thief approaches, no moth destroys. Are you ready? For where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Now, let me say this a little different, because I think this is what Jesus is getting at. God wants to pour the treasure of the kingdom into the money bag or the purse that you use to live. Have you figured it out yet? The money bag or the purse is your heart. Jesus, the Father, wants to pour to you everything we need for life and godliness, everything we need to make a difference in our world, everything we need to have peace, joy, and love. He wants to do that, but he's going to pour that treasure into a bag, a purse that doesn't wear out, and that is our heart. I'm not talking about your physical heart, because I know some of you are going to say, well, my heart's kind of wore out. I take pills every day to keep my heart from wearing. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the center of who you are, your heart, the place where God and the Spirit dwell. Amen? He wants to pour everything into your heart, everything of the kingdom, the life, the joy, the peace, the provision, the covenants, everything we need, he wants to pour into this heart that does not wear out, doesn't get holes in it where you drop a bunch of stuff out of it. He wants to pour that into your heart. Now think about this with me. As I was praying about this and thinking about this, I thought about, well, the Spirit brought things to mind. Remember whenever somebody would come to Mary and would tell her something about Jesus? You know, the shepherds came and said, the angels declared, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth to men of goodwill, blah, blah, blah. They came to him and said, this name of Jesus is destined to the rising and falling of many, and a sword will pierce your soul also. And several things happened in Mary's life like that. And you know, there's this little phrase that always showed up. Mary treasured these things, where? In her heart. Mary treasured these things in her heart. Whenever they would come and tell something, she would bring it in and she would meditate on that, and she would wonder maybe how that works and how that is going to go. And she treasured them because her perspective was, first of all, the kingdom. Can we say amen to that and agree with that? So she wanted to figure out what it was that God was going to do through her, through Jesus, through everything. So she treasured these things in her heart to the point that, and I think this is important, it's not just a side observation, to the point that when things happened, she had a reference point. Do you understand what I'm saying? When things happened, she had a reference point. All right, now I'm going to go ahead and make a point because I don't have this one in my notes. This one just came to me, and I want to make sure I get the point explained. When she had a reference point, if we have the things of the kingdom in our heart, when stuff happens for the kingdom, we have a reference point. We know what's going on because the things of the kingdom have been deposited in our heart. Amen? So we can look around. And we can see needs, we can see hurts, we can see things and have a reference point of what's happening and what we can do. Because he has poured within our money bag the things of the kingdom. There's other places. Jesus said, it's out of the treasure of your heart that things flow. You know, they were worried about the disciples not washing their hands and they were going to get unclean. He said, no, it's not about that. It's about the stuff that flows out of your heart. One of my favorite passages is, I think it's Proverbs chapter 4, somewhere in there. It says, out of the heart flows the issues of life. The heart, I believe, is that place where God pours the kingdom into us. In other words, when Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you, this is what he's talking about. All right, so we have within, as a believer, by the Spirit of God dwelling us, by the life of Jesus within us, in our hearts, we have the gifts of the kingdom. Amen? Okay, everybody with me? Okay, now, let's go back to Luke chapter 12, because we have a way And it happens like this. You ever read scripture and you get to a break? You know, like in my Bible right now, there's about a quarter inch space between the last part of verse 34 and the first part of verse 35. It even has a title there. And we in our minds, we have a cutoff. Okay, this is what he was talking about. Now he's talking about something different. We got to stop doing that. Because just because that's the way they laid out the verses and the subheadings in your various translations does not mean that the thought stops there. Because Jesus goes on. He says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. And be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast so that they may open the door to him. And once he comes and knocks, blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and will have them recline at the table and he will come and serve them. That's pretty cool, isn't it? goes on. If he comes in the second watch or the third, finds him awake, blessed are those servants. Yes. Somebody says, well, Pastor Jeff, that's talking about the second coming of Christ. Can I help ease your mind and say, yes, it is. But if all we're waiting for is the second coming of Christ, we're missing Jesus coming into our day of visitation today. If he has given us the things of the kingdom, if we have treasured those things in our heart, if we have that reference point, we need to be looking for Jesus showing up in other stuff, in the lives of other people, in the needs of other people. We need to see Jesus showing up. You know, ever since I've been in Jerusalem, it blows my mind, this whole picture. I can ever forget this. That when Jesus is standing there on the Mount of Olives and he's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, and he says, the reason this is happening is because you missed the day of your visitation. I don't want to miss the day when Jesus shows up and gives me an opportunity to do something for his kingdom. I don't want to miss the day when he comes into my life and does something amazing. I don't want to miss it. It's not just waiting till the glorious day when Jesus comes through the clouds. It's seeing him in the dailiness of our lives. It's seeing him in the face of the... I wrote this down because I want to get this right. See him in the eyes of the hurting who need help. To see him in the fearful who need peace. The poor who need good news. And even our enemy that may be questioning things that we don't know. You've all heard about Mother Teresa. She was able to minister to people because she saw in the dying the death of Jesus. She saw in people she ministered to the ministry that Jesus had to those. We have been given a gift. We have had the kingdom poured into our hearts. Let's not miss the times that we have the opportunity to share that life with somebody around us. Amen? And to do that, we have to be attentive. We have to be aware. We have to have a reference point of the things of the kingdom. So we have to treasure those things in our hearts. We have to let that treasure flow out of us to those who have needs. So my question is, what Jesus is saying, where's your treasure? Think about it. If my treasure is in my stuff, I'm going to do everything I can to protect my stuff, to keep my stuff, to have my stuff. But if my treasure is in the kingdom, my reference point is going to be to see the needs of the hurting, the poor, the fearful, even my enemies. Amen? See, that's what Jesus is getting here. Now I know I kind of made the faux pas of Hebrews 1 versus Hebrews 11, but let's turn over to Hebrews 11 real quick and let me read those, because I want to talk just a little bit about it. It's a side, kind of a side issue or thought, but I think it fits right in here, okay? So where's our treasure? That's what we're talking about. In Hebrews chapter 11, which is the great hall of fame of faith, you know, those who did great things for God. All right. 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it people of old received their commendation. Don't read that condemnation. Commendation, or their award, or prize. By faith we understand that the universe was created by God, by the word of God. Anybody happen to know who that is? That's Jesus. That's the Hebrews 1 Jesus. He has spoken to us now in his Son, Jesus Christ. And it says that for that which is seen was not made out of things that are visible. No, I'm sorry. I just jumped right in the middle there. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Look down at verse 6. For without faith, it is impossible to please God, For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he is, and that he rewards those who seek him. What's the reward of seeking God? Can I stretch you a little bit? Well, the reward for seeking God is one day we're going to go to heaven. Yes and amen. But I just read that God wants to give us the kingdom. So what's the reward for having faith? The kingdom in our hearts, giving us everything we need for life and godliness. Amen and amen. So, what I want to do now is I want to take just a minute to look at this. There is a difference, and we see this in this passage and other passages. There is a difference between faith and the faith. Okay? The faith is what we believe. Jude said it this way, continue for the faith that was once for all delivered. The faith is what we believe. Now, the reason these people in Hebrews acted in faith was because of the faith. The faith they had in God, who he was, what he did, what they believed about him was the faith. All right? That prompted them to live in faith. Are you beginning to see the difference here? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again, and he ascended to the right hand of the Father. And he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the one holy church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. That is the faith. But because I believe that, because I have been gifted in my heart that does not wear out the things and treasures of the kingdom, it causes me to live differently around those. I had a meeting this week, and we were discussing some future retreats. And one of the things is that a lot of people are struggling with a lot of things right now. And we talked about that what we have to do is we have to present a reality of the kingdom in the midst of things that are not the kingdom, so people can see the difference. And we have to learn that. We have to be trained that way. We have to grow in that thing. We have to grow up in our faith. Now, here's something I want you to walk with me. I'm not going to be on a long journey here, okay? When we grow in the faith, as we grow in Jesus, as we grow in what we understand, off the foundation of what I just shared a while ago, the Apostles' Creed, as we grow in that, there are going to be times that we might, in the midst of our lives, hold on, everybody reach up, hold the pew in front of you, that we might have doubts. Well, wait a minute, Jeff. I know it's wrong to have doubts. James said, if you doubt, you're like a wave tossed around to and fro by every wind of doctrine. So don't doubt. There are two kinds of doubts. And Jesus, when he talked to Thomas, dealt with both kinds. Now, walk with me through this thing of Thomas. Y'all remember after Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to the disciples, but there was one not there. Anybody who know who that was? Thomas. Why was Thomas not there? Well, I think Thomas wasn't there because he was just like, what in the world is going on? I don't know which end is up. I don't know where to go. I don't know what's true. I don't know what's right. I just don't know about anything right now. That's why we call him Doubting Thomas. See, I think he wasn't in church the Sunday of the resurrection. We could preach on that, but we're not going to. The reason he wasn't in church on the Sunday of the resurrection is because he was wondering what in the world's going on. I'm hearing these stories. I walked with him. I had these ideas, these expectations for him, and he didn't fulfill any of those. And I don't know what, I don't even know whether I want to go on or not. But then he started hearing all these stories from the apostles. Thomas, you should have been there, man. It was wonderful. We had church Sunday, and man, this is where the phrase comes. We had church Sunday, and man, the Lord was there. And so Thomas went, okay, I guess I'll go see what's going on. So the next Sunday, church time, he walks in. He's there with the disciples. Jesus, again, makes one of his wonderful appearances through the door. And he walks. I tell you, it blows my mind. When you hear this and you don't think this, it blows my mind. Jesus walks in the door, through the door, and he says, check me on that. He says, peace be with you. Tom, do you mind playing Thomas for a second? I hate to use you again. I do this all the time. Come here. Just stand over there. Just stand right there. Okay? So, remember, Jesus was in church last Sunday. He had appeared to the ten disciples. And Thomas has heard all the stories all week. And he's like, you know, I don't know if I can believe or not. I don't know if I can go on or not. I just don't know what to do. And so the next Sunday, the next Lord's Day, the first day of the week, Jesus comes through the door. I would try to act that out if I could, but I can't. Jesus comes through the door and he says, peace be with you. Here, look. Look now, remember what he said. Unless I see the marks, the scriptures tell us he didn't say anything or do anything. He walked right to Thomas and held out his hands. Now, you're doing what the scripture didn't say. Okay? Jesus did this. Anybody remember what Thomas did? Bowed down and said, my Lord and my God. Now, that the reason I did this is because I wanted you to see that Thomas, in his doubt, needed to see Jesus in the way he needed to see him. And then he didn't doubt anymore. And Jesus said this. This is very interesting. Jesus said this. Thomas, don't. And this is in the Greek. It's not the English translation. He says, don't not believe. And the word there is literally, don't depart from the faith. Don't not believe. All of these doubts, thanks Tom, all of these doubts that we struggle with and we have is, how many of you ever used to believe something? And then something happened, and you go, I don't know about that. What did you just do? You doubted. There is some doubt that is necessary for our growth in the faith. But if that doubt causes us to turn from the faith, that's not good. And the reason is we are walking away if we do that. And this is what Jesus was worried about Thomas. If we do that and Thomas walks away from the faith, he's not going to get the opportunity to have his questions, his doubts answered in Jesus, in the faith. So if you're struggling right now with stuff that's going on, wondering what in the world's happening in our world, and this is going to sound bad, but it's not bad. For God's sake, don't not believe. Doubt, question, wonder, grow, yes. But let's don't leave. Because I believe with all my heart that God's not done yet. Amen? So here's two questions I have for you. First of all, what's your treasure? What's your treasure? And actually, the second one's not really a question. It's an understanding. I was listening to a preacher this week, and he was talking about something. I don't know what it was, but he ended his talk with this. You see, I used to think we were supposed to keep the faith. But now I realize it's the faith that has to keep me.